Well, please do turn to the book of Genesis and the very last verse, verse 22. Chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. How comforting to read these words when we have protesters supergluing themselves to motorways, Extinction Rebellion causing chaos in the capital whenever they like, because they feel the world is going to change in some dramatic way. We know it will one day at the end of time, but they feel that our whole ecosystem, our climate is under threat. And we read these words. And these words were uttered after the greatest judgment this world has ever seen. When thousands of years ago the Lord sent the flood, so great was the wickedness of man. And all mankind, apart from Noah and his family, were wiped off the face of the earth. Noah offered an acceptable sacrifice, we read, a few verses before this. And the Lord made this promise for us to cling on to now. And I want to look at this verse under three headings. The literal harvest, as in the harvest we eat from the fields. The spiritual harvest. And what will our harvest be? Now the first thing we see as we read this verse is the control God has over his creation. It says, while the earth remains, there will be seed time. There will be a time when plants will begin to grow. Man will put seed in the earth, but there will be seed in the earth anyway, and it will grow. And then there will be a time, sometime later, there will be a harvest somewhere in the world, many places in the world, where the crop will be gathered in. And to make sure this happen, God has declared that there will be times of great cold, and there will be times of heat of varying degrees. There will be seasons of this. There will be seasons of winter, where it's very cold for a period of time in different parts of the world. It's different in every land. And then there will be a season of heat. And this will be broken down into days and nights, 24-hour periods. And God says, it shall not cease. What a comfort that is in these times where man has got so worked up about the change to the climate. I'm not saying that we don't do damage to our environment. I'm not saying we shouldn't be good stewards of the earth. But God is in control, not man. I was told only yesterday that there's been some primary school children and they've come home from school and they've been crying because what they've been told about climate change and what man is saying is going to happen in the future. But God has told us what's going to happen in the future. That while the earth remains, these seasons will carry on. What a comfort. I'd like to speak to some of those people on the motorway and say, look, do you realise that you're protesting? Yes, there might be some validity to it, but do you realise that our Maker has said that there's always going to be a harvest, there's always going to be a planting time, there's always going to be a summer, there's always going to be a winter. And the earth isn't going to gradually sink into some strange climatic mess because its Maker has already decreed what's going to happen. Yes, God has also said the end of all things. We read about this in 2 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Well, that could be translated laid bare. That is the great climate change. There's a day set by God, already set in a certain year, in a certain month, a certain day, when Christ will come again, and this whole world will be burned up. But until that unknown day, if you're worried about climate change this morning, God has said, this will happen. These seasons will happen. And every time we see the sun rise in the morning, it declares God's right. Every time we see a sunset and the stars come out, it declares that God is right. Every time we walk out in the warmth of summer and we gather crops, this text proves God's right. In Psalm 74, verse 16, we read, "The day is yours, the night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter." How faithful God is. He uttered that command as that promise, a covenant, if you like, with creation, as a comfort to man. To say, this is what will happen. And God is so faithful, because we've seen the plants grow, we've seen the sun shine, we've seen the seasons come and go, and food has been provided for us. How faithful God is. If you're anxious this morning about climate change, or anxious about anything, look to your Maker, look to the God of heaven and earth. Every sunrise, every sunset declares his power. Never forget that simple trust in God. Do you know, in 2019, the statistics show that this world produced more than 1.5 times the food that the whole population of the world needs. That's incredible, isn't it? 1.5 times. God has provided for us. It shows the infinite power and patience of God. Despite man's damage to his creation, despite the terrible pollution, some things are necessary, but some things are not. God still provides for us, despite our sinful folly. And he will provide for us until the day Christ comes again. It shows God's mercy as well, doesn't it, to us? Because in Genesis 8:21, the Lord says this, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done." The Lord is saying there in effect is, I destroyed this world by the flood because man is so sinful. And in effect, God is saying, even though you are still so sinful, I will never again send the flood and you will have these seasons until I come again in judgment. What a comfort. How merciful. Just think this morning, atheists who mock God to his face are getting up and they're having their cereal, which God has provided. They've got food. For any one of us, none of us, we can't just point the finger at atheists. We've all sinned since we last met, and yet God has graciously given us food. Many of you have had breakfast this morning. You hope to have lunch, have something to eat this evening. All because of the goodness of God. We should never take this for granted. We've sinned in recent times. Just if the Lord just puts the slightest whisper of his hand upon something, this country's been reduced to chaos. Last year, the world discovered COVID, and it turned it upside down. And now, a slight shortage of fuel, the sinfulness of man and panicking, and the country's in chaos. Large parts of it. People are struggling to get to work. All sorts of things. Never take God's goodness for granted. John Gill said that, the ancient commentator on the Bible, he said, if God was to treat us as we deserve, we'd be under a permanent deluge. It'd be raining permanently and flooding permanently. But the seasons come and go and food is produced. And sadly, it's because of our sin and our greed and our selfishness that people go starving. We thank God for the literal harvest this morning. But I want to consider a far greater harvest, a spiritual harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this. In Matthew 9, we read these words, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" See, our great problem is indeed our sin, isn't it? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We haven't changed that much since the days of Noah. Indeed, Christ warned that just before he comes again, it will be as wicked as the days of Noah. Men will get more and more wicked, more and more lawless. But yet God is willing to do, and is doing, and will do, a wonderful harvest of men and women, and boys and girls, that will be restored to their Maker, rescued from a life of sin. We worry now the phrase carbon neutral, don't we? We want our emissions down, we want the good things to equate it or outgrow it. We want to carbon neutral, we're worried about emissions. God is not worried, but concerned, will judge our sinful emissions. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, we've done the first four, but as we go through them, each time they expose us, don't they? We look at them. And we all have to confess that in our words, in our thoughts, in the desires of our heart, in our actions, we've broken them. And God must judge that. How will God have this great harvest? We see what compassion he has. His son had, when he looked at the multitudes, it says that they were weary and scattered. They're like sheep that haven't got a shepherd. You're like people going through life. You've got no one to lead you through what's really important. To have a harvest, you have to have a seed, don't you? Have the seed, and then it grows, and then there's a crop, and then it's reaped in. Well, for God's spiritual harvest, he has the word of God. And he has the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We should never get tired of hearing that. Perhaps you've not heard it before this morning. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, why was Jesus even on this earth uttering those words nearly 2,000 years ago? Because God, in his great mercy, had sent his son here on earth. Why? He'd come to live the perfect life. He'd come to be born and live all of life from conception to his death as a man. And he lived a perfect life. He lived a blameless life. He lived a righteous life. And then he offered himself up as a sacrifice at Calvary on the cross for the sins of all his people, all those that would seek to be right with God through him, all those that would cast themselves upon him. And on that cross, all our sinful emissions were dealt with. They were reduced to zero for those who put their trust in him. He took the judgment for his people, which was theirs. He took the wrath which God has for all the wrong things his people have done. He bore that. And then he put a seed in the hearts of his people that will seek him, which will grow and lead to eternal life. And one day the Lord will gather those people to him. Now, how many times have you heard this message? Some of you have heard it many, many times. And it's like winter in your soul. It's not harvest. It's bouncing off the hard ground. Many of us here, we're always here, we're like that at one stage. You hear it and it just goes in one ear and out the other. And there are tremendous consequences. There are eternal consequences if we continually reject that. But perhaps the Lord is beginning to work in some of your hearts. He's beginning to soften the ground up as the spring when the rains come. Perhaps the Lord is showing you something of your sin, the enormity of what it is to sin against the holy God, and that there's consequences. You're going to face God one day. Perhaps God is doing it within another way, and he's making you look at life and he's saying, what is the point of life? Am I really just a collection of cells gathered here on a random planet in the universe, and I'm going to live for so many years and die? Say, is that my life? Is pointless. And God is dealing with you that way. Or perhaps you're starting to see your need of Jesus Christ. Saying, well, how can I be right with God? I need a help. I need someone to appear for me. Well, God in great love has sent his son for sinners like you and I. If you'll cast yourself upon him, as that young lad Thomas did all those years ago. If you'll go to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as you are, he promises to forgive you. If you'll go to him wanting to repent means to not live life for yourself, to realise that you're accountable to God, to turn to God, but then need to do more than repent. Many people go that far and then they stop. They think that their repentance, that they're cleaning their life, it will be good enough. It's not. You have to cast yourself upon Christ. You have to throw yourself upon him and say, Lord, save me. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Oh, if you do that, what a change there'll be in your soul. Just as the wheat fields that surround us where we live, we see the seed come, the blade, and then it grows and grows and there's its full head. God can take the worst sinner, the hardened sinner, and he can work such a change in their soul, such a change in their thoughts, in their heart, in their character, in their desires. He puts new life in, an eternal life. It's a wonderful thing, the harvest of God. And you know, God's promise through the Lord Jesus Christ is so sure and so certain. God has made a beautiful comparison of this, of between his promise, his covenant, if you like, his promise to you and I through Jesus Christ, to the day and the night. Listen to these words from Jeremiah 33, verses 19 to 22. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so that he may not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me." God was saying to his people through Jeremiah, my promise that David will always have a generation that serves me. He'll always have a son. And we know that Christ is described as David's greater son. So this is directly linked to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my promise, in effect, through Christ. It would have been obscure to Jeremiah then. But my promise through Christ, this is how sure it is. If ever you see day and night stop, then you know that I've broken my promise. And we've already been told that day and night will not stop until the Lord comes again while the earth remaineth. Matthew Henry puts it like this. The sun is a testament to the faithfulness of God. So if we think about what the Lord has said there about day and night, and we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, what a beautiful picture that is. Every time the sun rises, as a picture saying Christ's righteousness, his goodness is sure. He lived the perfect life for sinners that were sheltered under him. When God looks at Jesus Christ, he just sees perfection. And all the people that have cast themselves upon him are underneath that perfection. His righteousness is credited to their account. God will treat the sinner that trusts in Christ as if they live that righteous life. Every time the sun rises, that's what we see. What a beautiful picture. Every time the sun rises, we see that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was sufficient, that the sins of all those that will trust in him are dealt with. Every time it rises, again, again, it says Jesus' work is sufficient. It's never changed. Every time it rises, it says mercy is available to the poor sinner that realizes their plight before a holy God. Mercy is at Calvary. Every time the sun rises, again, a sunrise declares peace with God. It comes up. Perhaps your sin troubles you this morning, believer. And the sun says you have peace with God because it's sure what Jesus did on the cross. Do you know this peace? Do you know you have peace with God? Do you know your sin has been dealt with? Every time it rises, it says, my love remains unchangeable to poor sinners that will come to me in all their misery and wretchedness. My forgiveness reigns. Every time it rises, it says, our sanctification, that he that has begun a good work in it will complete it. That he's working amongst men and women and boys and girls. He's restoring them to nearer to the image of God which they should be. And every time it rises, it says that one day he'll take them to be with him and they'll be completely glorified. It's more sure, in fact, than the sun rising and setting. Because God, through Christ, made the sun. Now, what's your position this morning before the God of the harvest? For his faithful declaration of his love and his goodness this morning. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. The Lord is so willing to forgive. Is there someone here and you have doubts whether the Lord would forgive you? Well, in the right way, your Creator bids you look at the sun. And when you see the sun rise, think of Jesus Christ and what he did for poor sinners at Calvary. You must go to Christ. It's not an optional extra, because the sun will set on your life and my life one day. And then the soul within us will go to be before its maker. And that brings us to the last point, our harvest. What about your harvest? In Galatians we read this, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Are you unconcerned about your soul this morning? I can't judge you in one sense. I remember sitting through 1,000 sermons. But I pray God will take his word and speak to you, because God will not be mocked. As we've lived our life, if our heart has just been about the things of this life, if our heart has rejected Christ, or if our heart has made a false Christ and persuaded that he will accept us as we are without any real repentance, God says, I won't be mocked. You're sowing to yourself. Your life is not about being right with me. You've not truly repented. And all that you're sowing for in your life, you will reap back an infinite amount fold. You'll reap back thousands upon thousands of fold in judgment. He says, I won't be mocked. Be concerned. Be alarmed. Ask yourself this question. Ask myself this question. If the sun sets on your life today, are you ready to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. It is so beautiful to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lovely verse I'll read in the Song of Songs, and it says this, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Do you know, that is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to a sinner that's trusted in him. And he calls them my fair one because of what he's going to do. He says, your time of barrenness is finished now. I'm going to work in your life. Now, commune with me. Follow me through my word. Follow me through prayer. Follow me with my people. Spend time with me, and I'll make my spiritual fruit come alive in your heart. You'll know my love. You'll know my joy and my peace. May each one of us know what it is to be part of that great harvest of God, his great love to man and women and boys and girls, that they are restored to their Maker through Jesus Christ, and safely gathered home. Amen.